Potpourri. Willkommen, welcome, bienvenue. Gedanken, Thoughts, Ideen, Leben, Life, Spaßiges, Plaisir, Interviews, Wissenschaft, Musik, Reisen, Traveling, Voyage, Sprache, Languages, Langue.
Welcome to Potpourri. This is Florian speaking, and it's the 25th episode today, which is going to be in the English language. As you can tell by the song, it's somebody's birthday, and that somebody is not a person, but it's, you guessed it, it's a podcast, it's my podcast. It's the first anniversary of Potpourri. And maybe you've heard the first episode, but back then, this is how it started. Well, okay, that's at least the music. I don't want to play back what I've said back then. It was a bit unprepared and totally unprofessional, and I think a lot of people did not stay tuned just because of that first episode. I don't know. Anyway, you stay tuned, which is good, and I'm all excited. So before I go into today's topic, which is going to be the movie dubbing in Germany, I would like to say hello in the other languages and also give a few comments about Potpourri itself. Ja, hallo meine Lieben, ihr habt es schon gehört am Anfang. Es ist das einjährige Geburtstäckchen von Potpourri. Vor einem Jahr ging es los, am 17. September, und Zeit ging ganz schön schnell um. Ich freue mich, dass ihr da dran geblieben seid, beziehungsweise inzwischen neu eingestiegen seid, je nachdem. Ich wollte noch ein paar Leuten danken dann gleich und über das Synchrongeschäft sprechen, was ich ja nun schon seit ganz schön langem angekündigt hatte. Aber jetzt muss ich das auch endlich mal machen, glaube ich. Donc, bienvenue à Potpourri. La 25e épisode à l'anniversaire de Potpourri. J'ai commencé à faire ce podcast il y a un an. Et je suis tout excité parce que le dernier an, ça s'est passé tellement vite que ça m'a pris l'haleine. Bon, aujourd'hui, je vais parler au sujet de la synchronisation des films anglaises ou étrangers. En allemand, parce que moi, comme vous savez, ou peut-être vous ne le savez pas, je suis un acteur de voix. Et j'ai fait ça pendant plusieurs années dans ma vie. Plus maintenant parce que je suis en Australie. Mais bon, de toute façon, j'ai annoncé que je vais raconter de ça dans le podcast. Et je ne l'ai pas fait pendant un an, donc là, il y a grand temps, quoi. Donc aujourd'hui, ça va être au sujet de la synchronisation en Allemagne, mais en anglais. Righto, so let's quickly go through the process of dubbing a movie. First, the TV station buys the movie and then gives it to a dubbing company to do the dubbing part. What happens first is that the company then decides on a production manager. There's just a handful of them, because they are sort of the brains of the operation and they pull the strings. These people then decide on who will be the director for the movie and who will be sort of the cast. They know a lot of voices and a lot of people, and they sort of look at the movie and say, okay, this main character, this male voice, could be this particular dude here, and some other voice artist could speak, you know, for this lady here. And so once they found the director, they give the movie to the director, which will then usually translate the movie if it's possible. Like if it's an English movie, they can do that no problem at all. But if it's a Japanese movie, the director will probably have to work on a raw translation. In any case, he translates the movie into German then, and he does that by dictating it into a little recording device, which is then sent to a writing agency, which actually takes care of the typing of the whole thing. So they type the script for the movie. The movie is, before it goes to the director, it's going to be cut into tiny little takes, so-called takes. They could be of variable length, one sentence or two sentences, or maybe just some little noise, like a little sigh, or whatever. And these get numbered so that you can sort of jump around in the movie and find your way around. And then the director goes through it take by take and translates the whatever is being said within one take. Now, so let's say we don't have a casting and we know the cast already, because sometimes there has to be done a casting first, so they invite a few people and then it's up to the recording studio to decide, well, up to the, whatchamacallit, the, well, Miramax, you know, the big Buena Vista, the big, I think it's called recording studio. Anyway, these guys then decide, well, we want, this voice sounds best, or this is what I want, so take this guy instead of that. Anyway, so the cast is being decided on, then everybody gets invited into the recording studio. Usually you start by recording the main characters so that you sort of know where you're going, and also because they sort of take the biggest time share of the production, you want to sort of get through them as quickly as possible. And then around that, you sort of, in between the little gaps that sort of appear in everybody's schedule, you then try to manage to stick the secondary roles and less important roles. And these are being sort of also recorded. During the recording, there's a few people present. So obviously it's going to happen in a specialized recording studio, which has got a recording room and also a engineering room, basically. And inside the recording studio, you only have the speakers, the voice artists, and the cutter. And outside of it, in the technical room or the engineering room, you have the sound engineer and the director. Then, well, basically, you could just go through the movie take by take. Well, if so, let's say I'm doing the main role for this movie, and in the 1,300 takes, I may have, say, 500 or 600 takes where my character appears, and then they try to go through it chronologically. Sometimes that's not possible, but if you're doing the main role, at least you can get through the movie. Usually you go through the movie chronologically, so you start at the beginning and then you go through it take by take wherever your character appears. And then, well, the recording basically goes like, it counts in, there's a count. It starts usually with a big A, which means attention, and then goes 1, 2, 3. So, well, it's a second, so it's A, 1, 2, 3. And then sort of comes on the picture, like the original picture from the movie. And then you sort of put your voice on top of that other person. Obviously, you're not going to hear what is being said in the original. What you do is, before you actually start the recording, you watch this particular take once or twice to see what the timing is for what that person is saying, and what the mood is, if he's annoyed or if he's loud or soft or whatever, if he's breathing in between, because you have to do that as well, obviously. And so you watch it a couple of times so you can sort of get an idea of what is happening in this take, and then, well, you just start the recording. You've got the script then, which the director has been translating and the writing office has been writing down. You just sort of got that sitting in front of you like a Bible, and then you flicker in the pages and find your take. And so say you have to jump from take, like, or your thing starts at take 57, then obviously you're going to open the book and search for take 57, and then you find take 57 and it says the characters in that take and what they are saying. And then you sort of read your line, which says, for instance, let's say in the original, the guy says, "Hi, mate, how are ya?" That was apparently an Australian movie, as you could hear. And then for the German translation, it would be, "Tach, Alter, wie geht's?" For instance. So I sort of memorized this, "Tach, Alter, wie geht's?" And I put it on top of the, "Hey, mate, how's it going?" And then you've got the counting part, you've got the A, 1, 2, 3, and then, "Tach, Alter, wie geht's?" There you go. And that was it. Hopefully you were on time and everything was fine and there was no noise in the background. And then the director is going to be happy and say, "Yep, that was good. I'll take it." And the sound engineer usually is happy as well, because if sometimes he'll have to say, "No, there was a noise in the background," or, "I didn't sort of adjust the volume right. Please do it again." And sometimes also the cutter who calls the whole thing off, saying, "Hey, dude, you were too short. Please do it again and slow down a bit so it's actually perfectly synchronized with the original." So then you go through the recording. Sometimes you're just alone in the studio. Sometimes you're at two people or three people, depending on how the whole thing is scheduled or what is most suitable for the movie and for everybody else's schedule as well. So let's assume the movie is sort of, all the recording has been done. What happens next is that the cutter is going to take the whole thing and sort of cut it. Basically, he's just going to try and... Because sometimes when you record something, you might... Oh, excuse me. Sometimes you might just start a titch too late, but then you keep the right speed and you end the whole thing also a little bit late. So all that's happened is that the thing you wanted to say is just translated a little bit, mathematical terms. Well, it's shifted in English terms. And so what the cutter is then doing, he just takes the whole thing and shifts it a little bit forward to make it perfectly fit. Also, yeah, what else is the cutter doing? So that's the main thing they're doing, just rearranging things, because you have to be fairly or relatively and painstakingly precise sometimes with the timing, but the cutter is always going to do sort of a little fine-tuning afterwards. And obviously the better a voice artist or the better a dubber you are, the less the cutter has to do to sort of tweak your stuff you recorded. So once the cutter got through the whole process of cutting the stuff right so that it's actually perfectly synchronized with the original, then the whole thing goes to the last step, which would be the post-production or the mixing. This is when everything sort of comes together, when the music is, you know, put back underneath it, when some of the sounds, because obviously we're not doing any noises, you know, any sounds that happen in the movie, like a slamming door or the steps on the floor. We obviously don't do it. What we do, we just bother with, you know, putting the voice into the right spot. It's the sort of the mixing department which then takes care of that. Also, what happens is that they sort of do some filtering on your voice, that it maybe to make it sound like you're in a small, in a narrow room, or you're in a parking garage, all that, because obviously you can't sort of imitate these sound effects in one standard studio. But usually what happens is that you take a fairly dry recording in the first place, and then you sort of add on these acoustics, this, you know, echoes and that kind of stuff later digitally. Well, then once the been done, the movie is more or less ready for release, and then the whole marketing engine starts. Or for big movies, the marketing engine has probably already been running. And the movie is ready to go on air. Another thing is that what some people are not aware of is that I'm not sure what you call it in English. In German, it's the Gage. This is what they pay you. It actually, for some reason, doesn't depend on the quality of the movie. So if it's a huge, massive Lord of the Rings blockbuster, you'll just earn exactly the same amount of money if it was the cheapest, you know, least significant, random, standard Japanese, you know, anime, whatever. And that's quite interesting. And the funny thing is actually with these cheap anime thingies, for instance, they're a lot easier to produce because the mouths of the original characters, they're just, you know, opening and closing. So you're much more flexible. You don't have to worry about lip syncs and all that. And also the acting is not all that important for these sort of cheaper productions. And you just go through it like nothing at all. You just, you know, speed dub the whole thing. And you actually earn more money per hour when you sort of do that, because you just get through more stuff. It's the quantity that counts, not the quality. Whereas a big, massive, important movie, that you obviously take a lot more time to really get it perfect. And then you don't earn as much money as you would like to. But anyway, it's not about the money, it's about the fame. No, it's not about the fame either. It's about the art. Love me tonight, it made me feel secure. So what's my personal involvement with this whole business? I started doing that when I was about 5 years old, and I've been doing it ever since. Well, until I went abroad, because obviously being here in Australia, I can't do a lot of German movie dubbing, or when I was in Ireland either. But I hope to get back into it, actually, when I get back to Germany, or back to Berlin, which is going to be in about 10 days. Woohoo! Well, actually, no, it's kind of sad, because I liked it here. I really did. But I shall talk about this at some other stage. What did I do in my, well, career? I did some, I think the biggest thing for me personally probably was the most famous thing was Peter Pan. I was the German voice for Peter Pan in the second movie, in the anime, in the cartoon, or what you call it, in the, you know, animation, Return to Neverland. It was called 2002, that actually came out, I think. What else did I do? I managed to get a little role into Stargate SG-1, which is my favorite TV series. And I also had a fairly interesting and important role in Angel, the Vampire Slayer, I think it's called, like this Buffy off-spin. I quite like that. That was a very interesting and demanding role. And I also did a fair bit of other movies and things, but most of the stuff I did was less important or less famous stuff, more series and little TV productions or children movies, obviously, as a kid. I also did Digimon, German, I'm sure if you... I think you say Digimon in English. Anyway, so I did that as well, and that's what I bought my car with, for instance. That was very funny. But, well, I don't want to bother you with that. If you're interested, look at my homepage, you'll find all that there. In any case, the time is sort of... Let me look at my screen. I've got about a minute and a half left. Okay, what am I going to do with this minute and a half? I'm going to start saying goodbye so I don't end up in a rush. And I will talk about the Aussie thing again. So yeah, exactly. Last time, if you all remember, I said, "Whoa, mate, what a corker." So I'm not sure if you sort of figured that one out. "Wow, mate, what a corker." That basically means that was awesome. That was funny. That was massive. That was hilarious, as some, or hysterical, as some Americans like to say. So it's just an expression of amazement. It's really cool and awesome and good fun. Anyway, so today's saying is going to be... I had a fair bit of think about what I usually say myself. And I do tend to say, "Come on, mate, get your A into G." I'll repeat that. "Come on, mate, get your A into G." So what would that mean? I will let you find out. Guess when? Yes, in the next episode of Potpourri. Until then, I shall probably have a few weeks of off time, because I will have to go back to Germany, pack up my stuff, finalize my thesis and everything, and, well, just get my A into G, as you would say. But I might get back to you in about 3 weeks' time, I think. I don't want to rush. There's other important things on at the moment, which is the end of my university life as a student. In any case, I shall catch you guys later back in Germany. Take care, and I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Goodbye. And as usual...